The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush. I am joined this week for IGN's weekly PlayStation show Beyond by Lucy O'Brien.
Hello.
Hi, Lucy.
Just us two.
It's just us. No one else is joining us. If you're watching the video version, you may notice some changes, and we'll get to that in a second, but you'll also notice there are no other humans currently in the studio. This week is San Diego Comic-Con week, and Max and Brian are both gone. They are prepping for all their many, many Comic-Con misadventures that they're going to have. And then it just turns out it's really hard to get people day before Comic-Con stuff starts to spare an hour or so of their day.
I know, it's a real shame, but I'm very happy to be here. I'm also really happy that Max and Brian are going to Comic-Con, because Max produced one of the, well, he hosted one of the my most like intensely beloved Comic-Con segments of all time, which was, of course, the interview with Tara Reid for one of the like various Sharknado movies. Yeah. If you haven't watched that already, please Google it. It's a real trip in the best possible way.
Yeah, Max and Brian always do a fantastic job when they're part of that show. I think last year Max has said like he continues to feel anxiety about it, but he was dealing with the cast of Aquaman.
Oh.
So, you know, like a lot of pretty big names in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I think he forgot to introduce Nicole Kidman at first.
He did forget.
And that's just a thing he has to live with for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it keeps him awake at night.
I understand. What won't keep him awake is probably missing this episode, because he has a lot of other busy things to do, but we have a fun little episode. I'm not numbering this episode. This is an interlude episode one, because half the cast is missing and then the rest of the office is very busy. And two, as you may notice, if you're watching the video version, hopefully the audio quality is still good, we're in a different studio.
Yeah.
It's a different space that will now be the new permanent home of Beyond and all of our other shows here at IGN, all the podcasts. We have a whole new set of studios going on here. So we've said goodbye to the old set. Then we said goodbye to sets in general. Then we said hello to the old podcast room as the new podcast room. And now we're here.
Yeah. And most of you were pretty nice about the old podcast room.
Yes.
But like, you know, it was a little dark. And so hopefully this new setting.
Some of the panels were falling off the wall, which you may or may not have been able to notice. But that's because that room went a little untouched for a while. Yes. But we have these brand new, huge put-together studio, so you can see there's a lot, if you're watching the video version, a lot of new custom art on the back wall. We'll have the Beyond logo up on the screen, hopefully be able to do stuff with this TV in the future. But yeah, this set is hopefully going to be the space for many, many more Beyonds to come. We don't care about the other shows, of course. But as I mentioned, we're getting used to this new studio, so there might be some kinks along the way as we figure out how it works exactly. But with that in consideration, I thought we could do sort of a fun interlude episode focusing mostly on viewer listener mail, some fun memory card stories, and maybe talk about one or two funny things happening. Because the thing is, in between E3 and Comic-Con is normally a dead time in gaming as it is. For PlayStation, it's even quieter.
I know, yeah, it really is.
It is a super, super quiet time when it comes to news. So, like, I pulled up some stories on this laptop that we have in front of us of, you know, there's a new Super Monkey Ball HD announced today. Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz is coming this year. Amazon Prime had a PlayStation Classic for $20 this week.
I mean, that...
Which...
that breaks my heart a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but when the PlayStation Classic was first announced, I was so excited, because obviously that was... that console was so close to my heart.
Yeah.
And then when I read the reviews, when it came out, I just didn't even bother. And now I'm just like, oh, I could I don't even want to pay $20.
Even for 20, it doesn't. So you're not going to pick one up?
No, I'm not. It's just going to clutter. It's just going to sit under my TV and the dust.
I like having them. Like, I do have one. I got one when it was like relatively on sale, like one of those like $60 prices.
Right.
But now it's even cheaper. But it's one of those things where it's like, I like having these mini consoles, but I literally have not turned it on once. It's not even plugged in. It just sits there to be cute.
It's just there. Like, it's like a sort of statement piece that you buy for your bedroom. It's like, this is my PlayStation Classic. What I say when I invite like dates.
Of course. This is my PlayStation Classic.
This is my PlayStation Classic. Now sleep with me.
That's a wow. You go real direct with it. That's commitment, and I'm impressed by that. I, however, am in a committed relationship, so no dates ever come over.
Oh.
Unless they're friend dates.
Okay.
But we really don't have those either. We're pretty homebodies, so we just don't have people come over. He's doing okay. I mentioned thank you to everyone in the Beyond Facebook group who offered some well wishes. This show's already off the rails.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's an interlude week. He's a little sick this week. He's getting some rest today right now, but we're hopefully going to get him on some medicine and get him back to biting shape very quickly, because boy, does he love to nibble at feet. He's a foot man, which was really hoping to not have in the house, but we do. But he's doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Hopefully he'll improve pretty soon. But he's not playing any PlayStation games right now, which is a problem.
Yeah,
we're thinking about kicking him out but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. No, he's safe at home. Other than that, though, like I said, it is a super quiet news week. I did want to briefly mention, in case you haven't heard, GameStop is apparently creating a new store concept that will offer retro gaming as the focus. Its stock has been plummeting recently, so this is sort of a new direction that they're looking to go in, and it essentially will have... like stripping away the focus of being like, hey, what's the new hottest game? Fortnite, you can't really do much with that in a store, so they're going to focus more on retro gaming and stuff. Do you think like focusing on retro and bringing people in for that sort of like the more physical stuff will do anything for GameStop? Or
you know, I saw a bunch of these sorts of things trialed in Australia, except they were more like bar focused, so you could, you know, go in and have a drink and play old Mario Karts and stuff like that. And that, you know, much more of a sort of social space. I'm not sure what that's going to look like without the kind of social aspect that like alcohol brings, or even an arcade setting might bring.
Like, barcades are popular here.
Right.
It's definitely like a model that can work, but I don't know if it works for a national retail chain.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either. I mean, I do definitely miss that side. You know, when we were growing up, you know, you would always be able to play the latest game or a game that's coming out. Like, demos are a big thing at retail stores, but, you know, that's not really a thing anymore. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really charming idea, but I just don't know that this is going to be the savior of GameStop.
Yeah, it's a weird space that I feel like retail is in. I can't remember. Like, if I go to buy a game, it probably is just at a Target while I'm also buying the 12 other things I need for my house. Like,
I feel what they're sort of trying to do is go towards the kind of record. And I say this coming from a family who owns a record store. That they're going towards the kind of vinyl model where it's like, okay, the physical product is something that should be collected and treasured and that sort of thing. And it's tactile and it's, you know, something that you can share with other people and pass around. And I love that. I love that as an idea. I just, it'd be interesting to see what kind of atmosphere they build in these stores.
Yeah.
Because if it's just a regular GameStop with a couple of old...
You can buy an NES now.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, ooh, look, you know, this console used to be around in the 80s. It's like everyone's got like a mini NES now.
Exactly, you need to, I think, offer something for the atmosphere. And that might mean like maybe GameStop becomes a much smaller chain. Like maybe that company changes drastically. Obviously, things have been on the downtrend. They change drastically, become a much more smaller chain, and are focused on sort of occasional retail things that are more of a like, come in, grab food, grab drinks, play an NES... Or, you know,
playing
old school systems like 360, PS3,
yeah.
The old school sort of thing. Yeah.
PS3, that ancient console.
But as I said, you know, there's not a lot happening in the world of PlayStation, except if you go to San Diego Comic-Con, you can apparently buy PlayStation Gear Store mystery boxes. So that's sort of the level of things we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Other than that, I wanted to answer a lot of questions. from the Facebook group for Beyond. That's facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond. If you're not a member, feel free to join. There's a lot of PlayStation, but also various other discussions. So if you can only deal with like an hour of PlayStation per week talked at you and you don't want to do it yourself, that group also will happily serve you. But we have a few questions from there. Anything else going on, Lucy, you want to talk about before we jump into questions? Anything in the world of gaming?
No, I mean, again, you're right. It has been a very quiet couple of weeks.
It's weird, yeah.
It is weird. It feels like something needs to, like, something giant needs to drop. Like, Kojima needs to do something.
He's going to be at Comic-Con.
Well, I hope he kind of acts crazy because I just, you know, I need something. I need some kind of big games-related thing.
You were thinking about quitting because Kojima hasn't done anything crazy recently, right?
Well, that's the only reason I'm in this business.
Yeah, for Kojima.
For Kojima.
For the Kojima crazies.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You know, like, he's had some great tweets lately. Yeah. Like, really good, really good value. So get on. If you don't follow Kojima on Twitter, get on it because it's just, oh,
that's what we're really here to plug. Kojima on Twitter. That guy needs the followers. We just want to help him out. But other than helping him out, we want to help the viewers and listeners in the Facebook group. So let's jump there. Mm-hmm. I have vetted some of these questions, maybe not all of them. So we'll see if any of them are not great questions. I'll just cut them out, but probably they're pretty great questions. David asks, what current game studio would you like to see develop a game for the SNES platform? So if someone decided, hey, I'm done developing right now, I'm going to go develop for the SNES, who would you want to do that?
Who would I want to do that? I mean, there are so many indie like studios that would do great developing on that platform.
The Shovel Knight guys would probably make any Game of the Year contender for the SNES.
Yeah, no, exactly. It would be really interesting to see a really big studio used to working with... you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars, have to kind of do a bit of less is more.
Deal with the confines.
Yeah, like, and see what kind of creativity could come out of that. I'd like to see Naughty Dog.
Ooh, yeah. Would you like to see them tackle a franchise they currently have or make a new franchise, like Uncharted 2D for SNES?
I love the idea of Uncharted 2D. I'd love... I mean, think about it. Like, in the Last of Us world, you know, video games aren't being developed, but maybe there are indie devs in The Last of Us making games based on that world.
Yeah.
And then imagine if one of those went onto the SNES. So I mean, I love that idea.
Within the fiction of The Last of Us.
Okay. Think about, like, some, like, post-apocalyptic little society, and there's going to be, like, a young, hungry game dev, like, really wanting to start again, like, build the industry up from the ashes, and, like, he can only he found a SNES from the rubble.
In the body of a freaker.
Yeah, and he's programming for it, and he makes this game. I kind of like that idea.
I like that. I could see that work. It's
woven in within the universe.
That feels like if Devolver Digital had the Last of Us license, what sort of game they would publish would be that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I would also, for the more easier sake, I would like to see Retro, because they basically have been making those sorts of games with the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze and all those recently. Yep. They've basically just been continuing Donkey Kong games as they were on the SNES. So just keep doing that. Yep. They make those games pretty good. Moving on from that.
They make those games pretty good.
As I'm known for. Rowan asked, would it be possible to have a bigger memory card segment this week then because of the lack of subjects to talk about? We will have more memory card to talk about in just a bit. Were you on the episode when we talked about PlayStation TV? Being a thing. So then this question is pertinent. Nathan asked, with Cuphead getting a Netflix series, what Sony property would transition well to TV?
Oh, no, I was.
You were?
I thought you meant PlayStation TV.
When we talked about the peripheral's name is PlayStation TV.
Yeah.
This episode, look, I'm going to be real with you. This episode is not for those of you who want to listen to the latest news in the video game world for an hour. If you want to listen to us ramble about whether or not we remember being on certain episodes, this is for you.
Sorry.
It's a bye week. I wanted to make sure, I almost was not in today. I wanted to make sure we had something to put out, so I thought we'd talk about it. Well, anyway, is there anything, since we've had time since that episode, any other PlayStation franchise that immediately comes to mind? Nathan suggested both Astrobots and Little Big Planet, which I think could make great children's cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we first had this convo, I threw out Little Big Planet just because I think that's such a charming sort of franchise for TV. And I really imagine it being like, I mean, I'm not sure how much you grew up with British kids TV, but like not we didn't time. We did in New Zealand because it was just like we only had like one kids show, and so everything else came from
what
the
was
States.
That kids show?
We had Play School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it spelled with a K, like S-K?
No, that's a very American sort of just thing. Curious. Like, whoa, it's spelled with a K. What?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can kind of imagine it just being really charming and like whimsical and, you know, voiced by Steve. I mean, of course, Stephen Fry was the original narrator or whatever, but like I'd love him to sort of narrate like short little, it would be so charming.
Yeah, yeah. That would be really great, especially if it was like sort of a, you could almost do like a fun nature documentary style thing with that sort of voiceover role. I would really love to see, it's already been announced, but it's sort of been dormant for forever, but there was the announcement of a Sly Cooper animated series that kind of just went away for years. I think it's been since like 2017 that was announced or so, and I just want to watch that. Like, I love the Sly Cooper role. To Andrew Goldfarb, if you're listening, please make Sucker Punch revive Sly Cooper somehow. And it's just crazy to me that, like,
just
that
do it, please.
She's gone. Yeah, whatever you're doing, stop working on that and work on Sly Cooper. Mm-hmm. I love that franchise, and it feels so, it's so silly, but like imaginative, like the way they use the animal puns and the anthropomorphism and everything is like really, really well thought out and really funny in its silliness, and like it's silly in a positive way. And so like, I wish that franchise was still around. Obviously I know like Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog, like they've evolved from their like former platformer sort of focus days, the more cartoony days, but I wish those franchises could still have somewhat of a life.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I really do think that sort of like my head always goes to children's sort of TV.
It's a great
because when you sort of think about like other massive PlayStation properties like Uncharted and The Last of Us and God of War, you know, they're very, very, they would require a great deal of production value that television may not necessarily be the best platform for.
Yeah, and for those, it's either a discussion of like, is it going to be a movie or a Netflix series? Like that seems to be where those come down to. So it'd be nice to have some of those older franchises especially come back in that form.
Yeah.
Similarly, sort of on the note of those older franchises, Duncan asked, if there was a PS2 classic, what games would have to be on it? I'm going to pretend there weren't the terrible clear licensing issues that happened with the PlayStation Classic. If you could have, let's say, three games that had to be on the PlayStation 2 Classic, what would they be?
Oh my God, you go first. I'm going to need to think about it.
And I think these, I want these picks to be, give me at least one that's personal. Like two can like kind of make sense, but one personal. For me, the personal one is going to be SSX Tricky. I played that game to no end. That's one of my favorite like arcade sports games. And the SSX franchise dying off has always been like a very sad, sad aspect of my gaming life. And I probably played Tricky so much. Like that was also one of my mom's favorite games. So we would play constantly together.
That's lovely.
But when I found like we would play to the point where, because essentially you would play through and you'd unlock more of the snowboarders and unlock more of their outfits and their boards. Once we completed everything, once we got gold medals on every race, every trick event, all of the costumes, everything, we would just delete the save and start over.
I love that. I love that.
We went through that game like four or five times easy over the span of a couple years. And I just think that game also technically plays so well. I really, really love the trick system in that game. And I wish we could see that come back.
Well, I'm cheating because I just like, I was just like, looked it I up. Just, I just need to know exactly what the, you know, because it's just, I don't want to leave anything out.
Yeah.
So, okay, for me, it would be Metal Gear Solid 3.
Okay.
And again, I know that it just wouldn't happen. Like, it would be...
Konami wouldn't.
It just wouldn't. Out.
Yeah.
It just...
How the Metal Gear Solid collection is not on PS4 is such just like a missed money opportunity.
I know. I know. I mean, it was so great on the Vita.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It was...
That's a great home for it.
Such a wonderful home for it.
Yeah.
I would want that. I would want San Andreas. I would want Silent Hill 2. I'm just picking it from like the best.
Oh no, it's fine. Yeah, I just literally Googled that just to see. It's funny, something like Shadow of the Colossus, I should be on there for its pertinence, but I don't think should take up the space of another game because you can get such a more modern version of it now.
Yeah, I agree. And that's like, that's it. Like I just, there are so many games from the PlayStation 2 era that have been kind of remastered or what have you. I would also love to see Burnout 3.
Ooh.
On
is that the revenge?
Takedown.
Oh, Takedown.
Okay. I loved that game. That was to say, I'm not a big like car game person, but you know, Burnout was always different. It was always more about like carnage and, yeah. and I was obsessed with that game. And I'd love to play that again on a PlayStation 2. In fact, like, this is the thing. There's so many wonderful... The PlayStation 2 was just
It has an incredible... incredible
console with an incredible library. It's actually really hard. Like, I'm just, like, looking through this stuff. It's actually quite hard to sort of narrow it down. But those are the ones that immediately, like, just looking through this list, those are the ones that would immediately...
And especially for a... Like... Most of these legacy consoles, like mini releases, have a relatively small library.
Yeah.
So one, I think this system would need to either have a really packed library or you'd be able to download games after, like 20 per year or something like that. But
that's how I've always wanted it.
It's crazy
to be with those,
yeah.
you know, like the Rock Band model where you keep downloading yeah. songs, like you just keep downloading games.
Well, it's probably like the eShop thing, like Nintendo didn't keep doing the eShop, and there's got to be a reason. Like, everyone loved the eShop, but they stopped doing it, and I assume the reason's money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's so, like, from exclusives to, like, obviously, for me personally, but they are really important to that era, but, like, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 should totally be on there.
Yeah.
The Ratchet games, the Sly Cooper games, like, on the first-party side, major Final Fantasy games, like, 10, but that's been remastered, so, you know, like, where do you balance that there?
Jak and Daxter.
Jak and Daxter. It's such a weird sort of... Oh, yeah, Tony Hawk, any of the first couple pro skaters mm-hmm, would mm-hmm. totally have a home there. It's one of those weird things where it's like so many of these games are great and would deserve a place. We have so many better versions of some of these games,
yeah.
but some of them are locked on the PS3 or some of them are locked on Vita. And that's the weird thing with where games are right now. It's like, how do you continue making sure older games have a life long after?
Yeah, it's a very strange... it's a very strange phenomenon because you don't really see this. You don't see it in film. You don't see, you know, books just get re-released over and over. Music is just digital now, basically.
Yeah.
Games are still kind of locked onto certain systems that aren't necessarily readily available.
They're really, unless, of course, you're dealing with, like, PC stuff or emulators and whatnot, like, you're really beholden to the platform the thing was created on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a song that was recorded on vinyl or a cassette can still be heard on Spotify now.
Yeah.
It's not precluded from that new software.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wish we could have some of that stuff, because no, would I spend my time playing PS2 games all the time and not new games? Of course not, but there's a mix you can find, and I think that would probably enrich a lot of everyone's sort of understanding of games, especially younger generations.
I agree.
I sound like an old.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a lot older than you.
At like, 2 years, yeah.
And I am like... For me, I sort of look back and I'm like, oh, I would love to show kids these days. I would love to show, like, kids, you know, the games that I grew up with and the games that I played. And it's just, it's not as easy as you think, as it should be.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
There's so much red tape. There's so much politics involved.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to have to deal with. And we'll see how future generations, especially as like backward compatibility becomes so much more important to the conversation, how that'll change things. Moving on from that question, Patrick asked, if you could have one Sony mascot as a pet, who or what would it be? Perhaps a Bandicoot or a Kratos. Don't think I'd want a Kratos as a pet. A bodyguard, maybe.
I mean, that's kind of kinky.
Yeah. If he's your pet, yeah, you're into some stuff.
You're really into some stuff.
I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying if he's your pet.
No, kink shaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like...
That's a different thing than a cute Bandicoot as my pet.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably go for the obvious and go for like Sackboy.
Yeah, he'd be a cute pet.
He'd be cute.
He seems really
cute or weird.
I mean, it definitely would be a little weird to have a bipedal, like stitched together human man made of craft materials.
You don't really know how like smart it is.
Yeah,
like he could be evil.
Also, what's the lifespan on a Sackboy?
Yeah. Or he could have like rules like gremlin rules.
Yeah,
and not,
true.
You know. And
that, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Don't but, like, build a level after midnight or Sackboy will go insane.
He could also be like, it could be kind of a little bit boring. Like, what does a Sackboy do when he's not sort of...
I mean...
Platforming.
If he's truly, though, you know, to the spirit of Little Big Planet, maybe he's crafty and could make things for you.
Yeah, spends his whole time knitting.
Exactly, but that'd be adorable. As opposed to, like, the Astrobots, I wouldn't really want them.
No.
They're cute to see, like, run around, but I feel like they'd be more mischief-causing than you would want. I just don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
I personally would. They're not like PlayStation first party, but like in terms of sort of an exclusive originally. Morgana from Persona, of course. Cute cat.
Why didn't I think of Morgana?
Cute horny cat. Who doesn't want that in their life?
Yes. I love him. I would like a clicker from The Last of Us because I feel like I could like benefit from that financially.
How so? Tell me your scheme.
Tell me your money-making scheme. I think that it would be of great interest to many governments.
You would? Do you think you could sell them that access, though? They would probably like commandeer your clicker.
No, I would sell them.
Okay.
I would be very crafty and cut many deals and pitch the governments against each other and be some kind of genius mastermind.
The world comes to the end over a fight for a clicker.
Maybe make a clicker army.
This is getting dark and I'm kind of afraid of where your head's going.
Yeah.
Casey asks, what is your dream franchise that you would bring over to PlayStation that has no chance of appearing like Mario games on PlayStation? I know we've had this question before, but I don't know if you've been on an episode with it. So I was just curious for your thoughts of a non-PlayStation franchise you would want to bring over to PlayStation.
I'm such a PlayStation person that I don't care for, you know, the Xbox exclusives. It's just that I'm not super passionate mm-hmm. about Xbox exclusives.
Yeah.
And obviously I just think that Nintendo exclusives work so well on their respective platforms that I can't really see.
Take them away from.
Yeah. I don't see what the benefit would be.
Gotcha.
I mean, obviously a lot of people would, you know, love to see the Halo series and Gears of War on PlayStation because a lot of people just have one console. So I guess, yeah, it'd be great if that happened. But like personally, I don't really care. I do really want to see The Outer Wilds on PlayStation.
Yes. Yeah. If there's any game this year that should
this be on PlayStation. This year, we're speaking specifically this year, just because it's such a great game and I just think more people should play it.
Of first party stuff, I would like to see Banjo-Kazooie. On PlayStation 1, because that would then complete the trifecta of Banjo having been in Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation, which would just be perfect. But also just because I think cutesier, more family-friendly mascot platformers do have a home on PlayStation, but I don't know if they currently have a home on Xbox. Like, it doesn't feel like that's a current interest of Microsoft Studios, especially with Rare so focused on Sea of Thieves. Like, that game went from being sort of like, we'll see how this goes, to a thing they're supporting really well and has a really dedicated audience.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rare is going to be like, let's stop that and work on a Banjo platformer.
I feel that PlayStation and Sony in general has traditionally been more family focused than Microsoft.
Yes.
I mean, just think about Knack and Mark Cerny and how that was such a push.
And it will be again with the launch of the PS5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good pick for sure.
It's one of those things where until Insomniac decides to make a Ratchet and Clank 2 revival, which given the success of Spider-Man, probably won't happen, but I would like that to have a home there. Looking through the rest of the questions, this is a funny one. If you would like me to read, I think it's amusing.
Sure.
I'm going to read it just for fun. Johnny asks, would you ever leave IGN? Please don't. Just curious. Ha ha. And I mean, I'm going to say probably at the age of 70, I won't be at IGN.
I mean, I'm planning on dying here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
True lifer. True.
Yeah, show. I mean, like, they'll have to keep, renewing my visa even when I'm completely redundant.
It's going to get real expensive.
So it's going to get really weird.
No, I did want to bring this up just sort of the idea of, because I don't think we've talked about this on the show in a long time, but, like, if you weren't working at IGN, like, what is a, like, thing you wanted to do growing up? What is, like, another sort of either field or just line of writing? Like, what would you want to be doing?
Well, I feel like you and I have similar dreams.
Yes.
Because I started my career started as a I was a play well if you can call it a career I was a playwright in Wellington, so I was like, I worked in theater and I did a little bit of little tiny bit of TV stuff and radio stuff, and I think that if I hadn't gotten into this, that's where I would have continued to have gone. And eventually that is where I would like to, I'd like to
revisit that
at some point in my life.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of straight out of college, just started doing this, not at IGN, but I interned at Polygon for a bit and was writing variously where I could about game stuff and Entertainment Weekly and things like that. So like entertainment journalism as an umbrella has always been a thing I've been interested in. But yeah, absolutely. Like if Netflix would accept my pitches, I keep writing them to them.
He writes them on like physical paper and sends them to Netflix, Netflix's offices in LA. So just letting you know, if Netflix, if you're listening, please just, you know,
just to answer one of them, just one of those great, great ideas. No. But yeah, like I mentioned this on the show last week, but I just started finally like writing fiction again for the first time in a while. And it's nice to like have that output aside from like, here we tell the stories of other people making things or write about the stories that were made and how they influence us. And it's also like, what is the creative muscle of writing those stories yourself?
Yeah.
And not every story you write is going to be that great, but it's nice to try to like work that muscle a bit more.
I agree. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you ever write fan fiction? Please be honest.
I'm trying to think because you would expect that I'd have written Kingdom Hearts.
I expect you to have like a tome.
I don't. That's the weird thing. I wrote the longest thing I ever wrote, I'll get to in a second, but I wrote some probably not Harry Potter fan fiction, but I tried
Potter adjacent.
I basically like I've tried writing Harry Potter as a script for various reasons. I'll get to it at a later date with Barrett Courtney. But I really never wrote fan fiction. I don't have anything like against it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's a great, useful creative output. Also because at the end of the day, when you're a screenwriter trying to apply for jobs, at least how it used to be, if you listen to any writer talk about it, you basically had to write fan fiction of the show you wanted to work for and show them that you could write that show. Mm-hmm. So I think fan fiction is amazing and awesome. I just never got into it myself. But basically what I wrote was probably just like superhero fan fiction or like fantasy fan fiction as a trope. But I wrote like 200 pages of a novel as a kid. About a kid getting superpowers. You could never guess who that kid might have been in the book, but I wrote like 200 pages of that, and that heavily
pulled
from
stuff. What were his superpowers?
He had a variety of superpowers based on his many adventures where he discovered these orbs with different powers in them that would grant him different abilities.
That's so cute because I wrote fan fiction and it was so horny.
There's a market for that. Kindle singles, you can make so much money.
Oh, no, I knew that there was a market for it.
You're
because
like,
I was reading that stuff. I think that's writing to our respective personalities.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't already tell already, show's a bit off the rails, but those are most of the questions. I did want to mention, if you ever want to write in questions, especially as we're approaching Beyond 600, please write into beyond@ign.com. Subject line can be listener mail, reader mail, viewer mail, however you consume the show. If you consume it by transcription, I guess that'd be reader mail. Feel free to write in. We'll answer some emails on the show, definitely for Beyond as well. Want to do that more. But additionally into the Beyond inbox, you can write your memory cards. And
which is my favorite part of the show.
Memory card is a segment we've been doing here recently, and I think we're going to do probably in a big way with 600. I'll talk a little bit about that. We can just spitball on the air, I guess, about that. Memory card is a segment we do here every week where we talk about your favorite, funny, silly, whatever memories about PlayStation that you've written into us at beyond@ign.com. Please use the subject line memory card so I know. We'll read some of those on the show. Everyone who has
otherwise, we'll just think it's like some old man's rambling.
Brian and Max signed that email up for horse.com, so I get those once a day. So I do get some spam to that email address. But memory
horse.com.
They're like, don't
just like get horse facts every
no,
day?
They sell things. It's like buy not horse memorabilia, but like buy a saddle or like. Shampoo for their mane. I don't like there's 20% coupons off all the time. I don't need those. I don't have a horse. But anyway, so we get those emails in addition to memory card. But memory card, please send those in. We've gotten some really amazing stories, some funny ones, some super heartfelt ones, some ridiculous ones. We love them all. Please write them all in. We have quite a few from the last week, actually. So thank you all for writing in. The first one I'm going to read is from Adam. Adam wrote, "Hey guys, big fan of all of your shows. They're an important part of every day for me. With the Final Fantasy VII Remake coming out, I thought I'd share a PS1 memory of mine. I spent a couple of months playing Final Fantasy VII as a kid, and I had just made it to the final boss. I guess, spoilers, there's a final boss. My younger brother came into the room at the time and wanted to play the PlayStation. I told him that he could play after I finished the fight. It was then that he noticed the playtime on my save file at 37 hours. He ran to my stepdad and said that it was his turn to play the PlayStation because I had been playing for 37 hours straight. My stepdad barreled into the room and took the disc out of the PlayStation, despite my assurance that it was a total game time over months, not straight through. I never got the game back. I never finished the fight. I have no idea how the game ends. Hopefully I can get through it with the remake. Love you guys. Keep up the work.
Oh, that is so brutal.
I know, right? Normally a lot of our stories have had sort of happy endings to them. That does not.
Oh,
not
that's
yet.
Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam, I really hope that you can finally get the closure that you so deserve when Final Fantasy VII, the final chapter, gets released in 2028.
Yeah, it might be a while, but if we're still recording this show in the decade when Final Fantasy VII Remake is completed, write into the show, Adam.
Please do.
And let us know, because I think that would be amazing to continue that story. Another story for Memory Card this week comes from Jeff. Jeff wrote in and said, "Hello, Beyond. I got a robbery story from when I was young."
These are darker Memory Card stories.
Yeah. I read this over the weekend, and I have some questions for you, Jeff. So if you're listening, please follow up with some of the answers, because I forgot to email you before the show. Jeff wrote, "After years of begging, my parents finally bought me a PS1. I was way behind the times since PS2 came out like 6 months later, but I was very excited anyway." That happened with me with the original Xbox, actually. I got it like 6 months before the 360 came out. That means you just have an awesome library. It works out.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Jeff wrote, "The game that came with my system was Siphon Filter, which became the first game I adored. Fast forward a few months and our house got broken into. The robbers stole money, guns from my dad's gun safe, and also my copies of Siphon Filter and Cool Borders 3. Though I wasn't that mad they took Cool Borders. So while my dad was pissed about the whole ordeal, I was having a breakdown because my most beloved game was gone. But thankfully, this has a happy ending. With help from witnesses around the neighborhood, the would-be criminals were caught. We weren't able to retrieve all of the guns they stole, so those were still out there, but I was so thankful that the cops recovered Siphon Filter. To this day, I get such good nostalgia playing Siphon Filter. I have the first two games on PSN and still play them from time to time. Thank you all and keep doing what you're doing. Jeff." He also said, "P.S. It would be awesome if the series was revisited somehow, i.e. a sequel or a remaster. If you haven't played Days Gone, you should check out some of the info about the end game of Days Gone." Because apparently they teased that. I have questions about that. Mostly, did they not take the PlayStation also?
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe they just ran out of, like, maybe they didn't plan it and they just like were like, oh, we've just got to get as much as possible, and they couldn't carry the PlayStation. Or maybe they already had one if they were stealing the games.
Yeah, that's probably. Maybe they were also stealing things to flip, and maybe the market at the time, they were like, I can sell these discs. I don't know if I can sell that thing, so I'll just take the discs. Like, it could have been something like that.
Yeah. But you'd think that they would, at that point, just you know, take it to sell it.
Yeah, you would think, but yeah, I want to really know what was, if you're the robber of this story also, and you're
listening.
Please write in. Please write in and let us know why you didn't take the PlayStation.
You know, when I was a kid, I was fortunate. My family was never robbed. I know that I'm very fortunate. But a friend of mine, her family got robbed, and she told me that the robbers like left like a giant like turd in the toilet, and for some reason that like that terrified me more than getting robbed. I was like, some men are going to come in and like do a big poo in the toilet and not flush, and then they're going to leave. And I was like, I was kept awake at night at the thought of these men just doing that. I was like,
just coming in and pooping.
Take my PlayStation, take my Mega Drive.
Take the money, but leave. Don't leave the poo.
Just don't leave the poo.
That is quite a side. Wow.
Yeah.
I was robbed. My girlfriend's car was robbed about a year ago, year and a half. And they took both of our bags. And they took her very expensive headphones that she had, like her studio headphones for work, and then my Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But yeah, we were able to find the two bags like 3 or 4 blocks away. We got a call because I had my business cards in there and they had one of my phone numbers on it, and they were dropped off at like the stoop of a house a few blocks away, and the person found them. Everything else was in there except those two things.
Oh.
So they just stole the like most high ticket items.
Yeah.
But then didn't like throw anything out or use anything else that was in the bags.
I mean, small misses.
So we still have the bag. Yeah, I mean, my house keys were in there.
Okay,
so
we were able to get home. That's good.
Yes, yeah.
Once someone stole my phone and I called it from another person's phone and they answered and then they went, oh, shit.
And I got... What an amateur move.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I have a few other stories if you have the time, Lucy.
I do.
I'm going to grab one or two. Again, thank you everyone who's been writing in with these stories. If you have something to share, share them to beyond@ign.com. We'll be reading them in perpetuity as long as we get them. Joseph wrote in and said, my first console was an Atari Jaguar, which my dad avoided. Wonder why he avoided. Was he afraid of Jaguars? I got to play for as long as I wanted without disturbance. For Christmas, a PlayStation was gifted to me as a gift. I got so much use out of it. That is, until Siphon Filter came out. It took my dad 2 weeks to beat the game. He got his teeth into it like a vampire into a beautiful maiden. Simile. It wouldn't have been...
Fan fiction, right?
Yes. It wouldn't have been a frustration had he actually saved the game, which he never did. 2 weeks of one PlayStation, usually in the pause menu, and me being unable to do anything about it. I attempted to show him how to save, but old habits die hard, and the PlayStation stayed on. It was entertainment starvation. Fast forward to the PlayStation 2, and Metal Gear Solid 2 was released, even though my dad had learned to save through the various iterations and sequels to Siphon Filter. MGS2 ticked that switch that told him he had to never save. Again, the weeks went by as he slowly chipped his way through the game. At this time, we at least had some Game Boys to keep me preoccupied. Bonus story, it took my dad 3 months to beat Vamp in MGS4 because he kept pressing the wrong button to inject him. 3 months of thinking he was pressing the right button and the game wasn't working right. At least he's persistent. And I've never heard as much of a dad story.
That is the most dad story
ever. I pressed the button and it didn't go right.
It's broken.
Yeah.
That's adorable. That is. Like, shout out to your dad for being a legend and being so persistent, even though it wasn't working for him.
Yeah. I appreciate the commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't get your system for weeks at a time, though. One more I want to read this week just because it's actually a sequel to one of last week's stories, so I didn't want to let too much time go by. Kelly, who wrote in last week with a wonderful story, wrote back in again. In the week intervening, and said, hey there, one of my favorite things to do is sit and watch my husband play his super intense games. While I tend to go for more low-stress gaming options, watching him hack his way through games like Bloodborne and Neo is typically how I spend my evenings instead of watching TV. Picture it then. Late October 2018, he's playing Dark Souls 3 on PS4. I'm 8 months pregnant and an exhausted shell of myself while I grow our son. I doze off on the couch while watching him play. He entered a new area of the game neither of us were familiar with, and as I lay sleeping next to him, something in the game unleashed a blood-curdling scream. I sit straight up, instantly sobbing hysterically. Josh, her husband, does not pause games for much, but he paused right then and there to calm down his heavily pregnant wife. After we got my hormonal crying under control, I got up and realized I'd even peed a little. But hey, on the bright side, I didn't go into labor, which is where I thought that story might have been.
That's where I thought it was going.
And
go.
Now our son is pretty much immune to all loud noises from hearing all these games, both from inside and outside his mom.
That's amazing.
So Kelly, thank you for writing in. I love hearing about how children deal with their parents playing games, which is sort of like a more common now phenomenon than it used to be. So I appreciate all these stories. Thank you for writing in with that sequel to last week's story. And thank you to everyone who's been writing in. We have a ton more. We are a little pressed for time, though, so we will be reading more in the future. I do want to, though, for Beyond 600, figure out a way to have people call in with their memory cards.
That'd be great, like old school, like Saturday morning shows.
Yes. So I'm currently trying to work out a Google Voice mailbox thing. We'll see how that works. But if you have an audio story that you would like to tell, also send it in written, just so I sort of have for both options, depending on how these things work. But please feel free to send in an audio recording of yourself, not video, just audio, because it's easier to integrate into the show, to beyond@ign.com. With, again, also a written version, just depending on if audio works well, if it doesn't somehow be compatible with our systems. We work with computers for a living, yet somehow still have problems. But I think we're going to probably try to integrate some audio memory card stories into Beyond 600 as we go through. As this is not episode 599, 600 is a little further away, but we still have some fun stuff planned. Very excited about that. But other than that, Lucy, obviously with Comic-Con prep happening and then the show happening itself, we'll have a lot of that coverage going on. But are you working on anything right now? Anything from the features team that published recently you want to shout out?
What do I want to shout out? I mean, anything that you read on the site that is not news, aka from Mr. Jonathan here.
Almost forgot my name.
I just was like, I just don't want to call you by your last. I was like, Mr. Jonathan is just sounds just feels right to
yeah,
me.
Sure.
You know, that comes from my team. Anything that's not news, anything that's not a review, or you know, just gameplay. So just, you know, leave a nice comment on those. Because it means a lot to our wonderful authors.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I will be doing some fun stuff with It Chapter 2. I'm actually going to do some entertainment stuff this week, which I'm really excited. I'm not, like, I'm just going to, you know, do some analysis of upcoming footage. So
exciting.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. And, yeah, if you read the news out of Comic-Con, chances are I was helping make sure it happened. So please be sure to check out all of our Comic-Con coverage. We have a huge live show going on throughout this coming weekend, if you're listening the week this show comes out. Most of our entertainment team and some of the team from up here in the SF office will be down in San Diego covering everything huge of the show, having guests, big, fun, crazy panels and all that stuff on that live show. So definitely watch. Just tune into IGN.com or YouTube.com/IGN. You can watch all that stuff. But other than that, you can find me at JM Dornbush on Twitter and Instagram. And Lucy, you're at Luce O'Brien, L-U-C-E.
L-U-C-E-O-B-R-I-E-N.
And you can find us there either talking about probably cute pups or whatever's happening.
On my Instagram, it's just like my girlfriend and my cat. Okay. And on Twitter, it's like my existential crises.
Okay, so the two together give you a full picture.
That's right.
Lucy. Yep. Gotcha. And mine is just probably whatever Kingdom Hearts thing I'm talking about that day. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this Beyond interlude of sorts. Beyond is live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific at beyond.ign.com, youtube.com/IGNBeyond, and your favorite podcast services around the world, unless I'm delayed in editing it, because sometimes that happens. But that's normally when we air every week. Thank you so much for listening or watching to the show. We'll be back next week with a much more normal, practiced, you know, full normal episode. But until then, thank you so much for watching and listening, and beyond.
Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.